Snowstorm impact, China virus. I'm Bart Necker. Roads in the Midwest and Maine are going to become treacherous with winter storms that will last through Sunday. Jeff McKay reports states are preparing for the worst.
State police in Minnesota have already responded to nearly 200 crashes, and State Police Colonel Matt Langer has some very simple advice.
Reconsider and take your own personal safety into account and bring that to the forefront and stay home.
Chicago's Friday commute was a combination of several inches of snow and below zero wind chills. The I-95 corridor on Saturday will be a sloppy mix of snow, ice, and rain. It'll turn highways into skating rinks from Washington to New York. Boston can receive up to 4 inches of snow before that turns into rain. The bottom line, stay off the roads. I'm Jeff McKay.
Three U.S. airports will screen passengers coming from central China for a new virus that has sickened dozens, killed two, and prompted worries about an international outbreak. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says the checks will happen at international airports in New York, L.A., and San Francisco.
Officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention think roughly 5,000 people will go through these checks over the next few weeks. Doctors began seeing this new viral pneumonia in people who worked at or visited a food market in the suburbs of Wuhan in late December. They said it probably spread from animals to people, but they can't rule out the possibility that it also spreads from person to person.
Two of the first three states to vote in the Democratic presidential race will use new mobile apps to gather results from thousands of caucus sites. The technology is intended to make counting easier, but raises concerns of hacking or glitches. On Wall Street, closing out the week, big gains in technology and communication stocks pushed to major U.S. indexes to more record highs on Wall Street on Friday. I'm Bart Necker.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy.
Sam Mendes thought he'd lost his mind making 1917. That story from David Daniel.
"1917", up for 10 Academy Awards, appears to unfold as one continuous shot. Director Sam Mendes and his cast and crew carefully choreographed long, complicated scenes. And when the cameras rolled, everything had to go perfectly.
That means that in an 8-minute take, you can have 7 minutes, 7 minutes of magic, and then someone makes a mistake and none of it can be used. You have to start again. And so that led to some days when I thought that I'd lost my mind, or was going to. But then when you get it, you're so excited, it keeps you going until the next time.
In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Boeing has found a new software problem on its grounded 737 MAX jetliner. It says it's making the necessary changes and working with the FAA. I'm Bart Necker.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-47-BIBLE. That's 844-47-BIBLE. 844-47-BIBLE.
It's everything you need to know, Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear the Wise Investor at 9, the Underwriter's Corner at 11, Dr. Tom Roselle live at noon, Purity Products at 2, Mortgage Radio at 3, Real Estate Today at 7, and at 9 p.m., Purity Products returns on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Trust is a really big issue when selling your home. Hi, it's Larry O'Connor for the team I Trust, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, the Reynolds team with Keller Williams. Moving can be one of the most stressful situations you'll ever have to deal with. So if you're planning to sell, eliminate tons of stress by calling the Reynolds team. Less stress means no hassles. They helped over 500 families this year alone, while your average agent sells 8 homes a year. The Reynolds provide incredible service and communication, and you'll be blown away with their unique systems and the ways they get you the most money possible for your home. Who else has over 8,000 ready buyers in waiting or is willing to sell your home at 100% of your list price or pay you the difference? The Wall Street Journal ranks the Reynolds team number one, and so do I. Call 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. With 2020 underway, everyone is thinking about their New Year's resolution. Eat better, exercise more, oh yeah, and get a new roof. New roof? Not exactly on the top of the resolution list. Well, I think about reprioritizing, because our slowest time of the year is your best time of the year to save huge on roofing. For one more week, save 60% off roofing. Plus, get 5 years interest-free financing. And with material prices going up in the spring, not only is it the best price you'll ever get, it's the best price you'll ever get ever again. 2019 pricing, 60% off materials, and 5 years interest-free financing? What? It's a New Year's roofolution. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. For one more week, it's the best price you'll ever get ever again.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. Their enforcement agents are cracking down this year and can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts. Even your home or business could be at risk over unpaid taxes. It's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. The award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible, protecting your paycheck and your assets from IRS collections. But don't delay, because the IRS is tacking on interest and hefty penalties every single day. So don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, and our producer this morning. And talk of some messy weather today. We expect some rain mixed with snow in the forecast, and could start rolling in very shortly. We'll have a high expected today of 38, so shouldn't cause any major problems, but we will get precipitation, and you know how it is when you're right on the borderline between freezing and a little below, a little bit under. As an example of that, right now in Herndon, it's 27, it's 32 in D.C., so we're kind of right on that borderline, as we mentioned. Well, impeachment, top of the agenda, Democratic debate. Boy, that came and went, didn't it? It's like one soundbite out of that. We'll get to that shortly. Impeachment,
obviously, is the hot topic du jour. And we're going to look at this from a number of different perspectives. Jim Trustee is going to join us this morning. Of course, he's with IFRA Law here in D.C., former DOJ prosecutor, head of the Organized Crimes and Gang Unit. So he's got like 28 years experience in it. You've seen him on Fox. Jim comes up within this hour, and we're going to get a number of questions into Jim on the impeachment, the announcement of the president's legal team yesterday, what that means, the House managers that have been chosen. And on the Democrat side, we shall get into all of it this morning with Jim Trustee. John Gizzi is going to join us coming up top of the hour at 7 o'clock, and we'll get the political side of it, President Trump's side of it. And you might be interested to know that the heir to the Shah of Iran has been speaking out this week. John Gizzi talked to him. Guy lives in Potomac, actually. He's here in the area, but he has some thoughts on what's going on in Iran, and we'll find out what he had to say when we talk to John Gizzi later on this morning. Jennifer Harper will join us, and she's got very interesting poll numbers looking at how the public is perceiving the impeachment. Cheryl Atkinson will be with us later on this morning, and she's got an interesting story on her show tomorrow on Full Measure talking about the swamp, draining the swamp. Has President Trump drained the swamp? Well, not to the extent that I think he would have liked to, but we're going to get into detail with Cheryl on that this morning. We'll talk with K.T. McFarland about the China trade deal, USMCA, her thoughts on impeachment, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us later on this morning as well, and we'll get a read from Tony on impeachment and what's the latest with Iran. Some inflammatory remarks yesterday from the Supreme Leader, and we'll get into that with Tony as well. So a lot going on the Saturday morning update. Of course, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joining us in the 7 o'clock hour as normal. I think what was interesting this week is that we saw the solemnity that the Democrats tried to put forth and put forward in the impeachment process. And we saw how they managed the House process, but now it's the Senate. So now they're trying to spin it in a 180 direction and solemnity. And this is an interesting two clips here from Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, which I thought were kind of amusing. Blumenthal, first, in the first clip, here's the senator talking about the solemnity and the gravity of the situation.
I was struck by the deep, steep sense of solemnity. And in fact, nothing we do while we serve in the United States Senate will be more important and consequential than putting country above party in this proceeding.
Country above party. Oh, yes. Country above party. We've seen that a lot from the Democratic Party recently. Well, the senator, within about 30 seconds of putting country above party, continued.
John Bolton was the witness who tried to dissuade the president from this so-called drug deal. Direct contact with the president of the United States. Robert Blair and Michael Duffy. Not just the president's men, they were the president's henchmen. They executed the drug deal.
Country above party, calling White House staffers henchmen and continuing with the drug deal references. So far, we've seen how long country above party lasts, maybe about 40 seconds till he made that segue. Well, the Speaker of the House did introduce the House managers this week, and in her moment of solemnity.
I'm very proud and honored that these seven members, distinguished members, have accepted this serious responsibility, again, to protect and defend for the people defending our democracy. The emphasis is on litigators. The emphasis is on comfort level in the courtroom. The emphasis is making the strongest possible case to protect and defend our Constitution. The decision to come down in favor of litigators is necessitated by the clear evidence that we should have witnesses and we should have documentation.
Okay, that's the Speaker of the House. An interesting little clip here where she confuses jurors with judges because the senators are not judges. The Supreme Court justice, who is the Chief Justice, will be presiding, but the Senate members are jurors, but the Speaker refers to them as judges.
The senators will take an oath of office. They will take a special oath of office to do impartial judges and do impartial justice according to the Constitution and the laws. Let's hope that they uphold that oath that they take tomorrow.
So that's the Speaker. Now, all of the solemnity and the serious tone in Washington. But then we have the signing of the articles. And you may have heard about this, but if you haven't heard about it, you need to see the video and you need to see the pictures of this. The Speaker of the House had special gold-tipped pens prepared with her name engraved on them for the signing. And it took her 24 pens to sign her name. And you could see the grin on her face as she's signing the articles, this moment of solemnity. And then she poses for pictures with all her pals, you know, the handoff of a pen to Maxine Waters, and all the other congressmen and women in there that she's handing these pens to. And she's doing one-on-one pictures. You know, if they hadn't been wasting the time and the taxpayers' money of the House photographer, I'm sure they would have been doing selfies with their stupid little pens.
Don't mess with me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? So that's a sense of the solemnity. You've got to see the video of Speaker Pelosi and what a farce that she has made this in terms of the ceremonial signing and the pens and the grins and the pictures and all of this.
Don't mess with me.
Oh, gee. Anyway, so that gives you some sense of what's been going on in Capitol Hill. Now, Lev Parnas has surfaced. We'll get into Lev in a few minutes. Did some work, apparently, with Rudy Giuliani, and he's singing like a bird. We're going to talk about Lex, I should say Lev. A lot of people call him Lex. Even John Brennan called him Lex the other night, got busted for it on Twitter. See, I'm starting to talk like John Brennan. Lev Parnas. We'll talk about Lev shortly, and also Jim Trusty's got some thoughts on Lev Parnas. We'll ask him about that, too. That's all coming up. Saturday Morning Update, and we're at 6:18 on the Saturday Morning Update. At the WMAL Weather Channel forecast today, we've got some snow showers around the area this morning. Expect them pretty much up till around noontime, then a mix of snow, sleet, rain, freezing rain, noon to 4 this afternoon, becomes all rain after 4 o'clock. Kind of depends on where you are in the area as to what kind of precipitation you'll get. The highs this afternoon of 35 to 40, and then for tomorrow it looks partly cloudy, cold, and the temperatures will drop during the day tomorrow. We'll be up around 33 to 38, but then it drops down in the evening. Kind of breezy conditions expected tomorrow. We can get gusts up to 25. For Monday, it looks sunny with a high of 35, mostly sunny on Tuesday with a high 36, sunshine on Wednesday, and a high of 41. Outside in D.C., 32, but it's 27 in the Virginia suburbs. We're at 6:19 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Indeed, it is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. It is very nice to have you with us. And this is a great little clip from Jeopardy. We don't usually do a lot of Jeopardy here on this show. But they asked the question about Adam Schiff. And they showed his picture and they described who he was. Now, how much visibility has Adam Schiff had in the last 3 years on the news? I mean, constantly on the news. So they flash his picture on Jeopardy, and here's what happens.
1/53rd of California's House delegation is this Intelligence Committee chairman. His name is Adam Schiff.
Yep, nobody got it. Can you imagine the blow to Adam Schiff's ego when that happened? I can just imagine how frustrated he is. Probably got his press people all lined up. Reams him out for not knowing who he was on Jeopardy. There's been a lot of talk about partisanship and the trial back and forth. We've got a cut from Lindsey Graham here, and I thought it was kind of interesting because, as you remember from the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, Lindsey Graham takes no prisoners, okay? He's his own guy, and he speaks out, and he's pretty adamant about what he has to say. And, you know, Schumer and then the Democrats, now they're looking for the truth. You know, when it was the House, it was, let's look for the most incredible way we can to damage the president, whether it's hearsay, whether it's factual or not. Let's just put it out there. Let's just throw it out there. But now the Democrats are all about truth, and Schumer's been talking about it this week. Well, here's what Lindsey Graham had to say about Chuck Schumer. He was talking on the Fox News Channel.
Chuck Schumer is not seeking the truth. If you think Chuck Schumer is trying to find out what happened here, you're missing a lot. He's trying to make the argument, if you don't call a witness, you're trying to cover up for the president. The truth of the matter is that Chuck Schumer is willing to destroy executive privilege. I can only imagine what he would be saying if this were a Democratic president.
That's just some sense of the partisan back and forth that you'll be seeing. And, you know, Lindsey Graham calls him like he sees him. Well, at 6:23, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and we have got a lot to cover today.
Are you trying to work, raise a family, and manage your investment portfolio for retirement? If you're like most folks, your investments take a backseat to other priorities in your life. Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We manage investments for our clients, so give us a call. We'd be happy to discuss how we might help you with your portfolio.
To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Simply Safe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade, enterprise-level security, but for your own home, if there's a break-in. Simply Safe uses video evidence, and with that, the police dispatch up to 3.5 times faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Simply Safe offers 24/7 monitoring, only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Get a free HD security camera when you purchase a system at SimplySafeUSA.com, normally $100. SimplySafeUSA.com.
Teresa could barely walk. For 15 years, she'd been collecting different insoles from drugstores and cushions from the internet. Nothing seemed to help the plantar fasciitis in her feet. When Teresa came into the Good Feet store, we took an impression of her feet and measured her arches to find where the pressure wasn't evenly distributed. Next, we had her do a simple balance test. Her eyes widened. Teresa immediately knew these were nothing like the flimsy drugstore products. This was a Lifetime product with structure, fit with precision. She had total balance, and 15 years of pain went down the drain. Years later, I still see Teresa because she sends everyone she knows to the Good Feet store. Hi, I'm Jonathan Cotton, and I was just like Teresa, suffering from plantar fasciitis. But then I tried Good Feet Arch Support, and I was so impressed by the results, I bought the store. If you have plantar fasciitis, back pain, knee pain, or even hip pain, come by the Good Feet store for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike and coming soon to Leesburg.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy.
Hey friends, you know that old proverb that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is? Well, I'm Eric Stewart, pointing you home from Long & Foster Realtors, and the host of the Eric Stewart Shows every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for the last 15 years. I'm sure you've heard the commercials that tell you if we don't sell your home, then we'll buy it. Well, the first question I think we all ask is, how much are you going to sell it for then? Because anybody could sell something below market value. Or how about those commercials stating that some agents got all the buyers? Well, if they do, they're not representing the sellers, right? Because you can't represent the seller and the buyer at the same time. I started my career over 32 years ago, and the one thing I learned is always be honest and understand a buyer's and seller's expectations. So if you're looking to get top dollar for your home and you'd like direction, call me now. 800-900-9104. That's 1-800-900-9104. And ask for Eric. Or go to ericstewartgroup.com.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Democratic debate. You didn't miss much, except that you might have missed this. This is the one soundbite that everybody has focused on from the debate. And really, it culminated in the post-debate is the soundbite that everybody's hearing. But we must play this one from the debate because it's what triggered the post-debate soundbite. It'll make sense in a minute. This is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. You may have heard that Elizabeth Warren claims that she had a conversation with Bernie Sanders earlier on in the campaign, and Bernie Sanders said that a woman couldn't beat Donald Trump. Well, it came up in the debate, CNN asking Bernie Sanders about it.
Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend, and I am not here to try to fight with Bernie.
Well, she wasn't there to try and fight with Bernie in front of the cameras, and when she thought that she would be exposed. However, she did get into a little spat with Bernie after the debate. This is great. This was afterwards when they're up on the stage and everybody's kind of walking around. It's all done. They're shaking hands, saying hello, goodbye. And Elizabeth Warren walks up to Bernie Sanders. He sticks out his hand to shake hands. She does not shake hands with him. And then Tom Steyer walks up. That's the Steyer voice you'll hear in a minute. He walks into the conversation. But this is what was supposed to be off mic because the debate was over. But this is the conversation between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
It's classic. That is the soundbite out of the last debate before the Iowa caucus. That's the one that's getting played over and over again. None of the other soundbites getting much attention whatsoever. Anyway. That's a look at what's going on somewhat. We've got a lot more to cover. Obviously, we're going to get into Lev Parnas and a little background on him and some of the, I don't want to call it misrepresentative news, but some of the news that is very misleading about Lev Parnas and the things that you might hear that have a little more depth to them than the headlines on MSNBC and CNN. So stick around for that. It's 6:29 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Rush Limbaugh has revolutionized the media and political landscape with his unprecedented combination of serious discussion of the issues and satirical and biting humor.
I amaze myself.
His status as America's number one talk show host has been a tremendous asset to advertising partners in D.C. and across the country.
Oh, yes.
Deliver your message to this loyal audience today. Visit WMAL.com/advertise-rush. WMAL.com/advertise-rush.
Rush gets results.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys.
105.9 FM. WMAL.
It's 6:30 and a check of the news. The star power of President Trump's legal team has gone up with the experience being brought in both constitutional law and the politics of impeachment. He has added retired law professor Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr. the independent counsel, of course, who investigated President Bill Clinton. The team will include Pam Bondi, the former Florida Attorney General, White House counsel Pat Cipollone, and Trump personal attorney Jay Sekulow. They're expected to have lead roles for the defense as President Trump's case will move into the Senate. Two of the first three states to vote in the Democratic presidential race will use new mobile apps to gather results from thousands of caucus sites. The technology is intended to make counting easier, but raises concerns of hacking or glitches. Democratic Party activists in Iowa and Nevada will use programs downloaded to their personal phones to report the results of neighborhood caucus gatherings to the state headquarters. The party is moving ahead with the technology amid warnings that foreign hackers could target the 2020 presidential campaign to try to sow chaos. They say they're taking numerous security precautions. U.S. health officials have announced that they will begin screening airline passengers from central China for a new virus that is making people ill. The U.S. CDC announcing Friday it would begin the screenings immediately. People traveling from Wuhan, China, will have their temperatures checked and be asked about symptoms. The Supreme Court will consider allowing the Trump administration to enforce rules that allow more employers to deny insurance coverage for contraceptives to women. The justices have agreed to yet another case stemming from President Obama's health care overhaul, this time about the cost-free birth control. The High Court will review an appeals court ruling that blocked the rules because the Trump administration did not follow proper procedures. The new policy on contraception issued by the Department of Health and Human Services and would allow almost any employer to opt out of providing no-cost birth control to women by claiming religious objectives. Police in Georgia say that three men linked to a violent white supremacist group have been charged with conspiring to commit murder. Friday's announcement comes a day after three other members of the base, who were believed to be planning to attend a pro-gun rally in Richmond, were arrested on federal charges. The arrests are adding to the rising fears that Monday's rally in Richmond will turn violent and could potentially become a repeat of the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Experts say members of the base train in military-style camps, want to create a white ethnic state, and have pledged violence against minorities. It's 6:33. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Check of the traffic and weather, and Gavin Montgomery's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
And we begin this traffic update with 17th Street northbound between I Street and K Street. Road construction will be your delay. That left lane is closed there in Northwest D.C. Two lanes do get by to the right in that long-term work zone. In Southeast D.C., MLK Jr. Avenue, northbound and southbound directions between Sheridan Road and Morris Road. We've got police activity in the area. We'll keep you abreast of any updates and information as it becomes available. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Don't be surprised if you see snow showers around this morning. They could be around the area between 8 a.m. and 12 noon. We expect a mix of snow, sleet, rain, and freezing rain from about noon to 4 this afternoon. Then all rain after 4 o'clock should end up by about 10 o'clock this evening. Then partly cloudy, cold, falling daytime temperatures tomorrow. Now the daytime highs today, 35 to 40, so don't expect any accumulation this afternoon. Tomorrow's high is only 33 to 38 as we look forward to Monday. Sunshine, high temperature 35, sunny on Tuesday with a high of 36, sunny on Wednesday with a high of 41. 27 now in Herndon, 32 in D.C., 6:35 Saturday morning update.
I'm Chiara Palazzolo, VP of Digital Marketing for the American Management Association, a company focused on the management training skills needed to enhance the careers of business professionals. We did our research when it came to the best companies for website development and chose AmericanEagle.com. And we couldn't be happier. AmericanEagle.com worked closely with us to understand the front and back end requirements needed to launch an e-commerce website that could handle the complexities of running thousands of seminars nationwide. Our robust new website website and improved SEO saw immediate increases in site traffic and web revenue. If you're in need of managerial effectiveness and success, visit our website at amanet.org. If you're in need of a website that provides an unparalleled consumer experience, I highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 703-WEBSITE. That's 703-WEBSITE or visit AmericanEagle.com. They'll help you build your digital mindset.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text RESULT to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text RESULT to 79645. That's RESULT to 79645.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck, and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax, they know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. Great to have you with us. Jennifer Harper is a fixture here on the program. Joins us each week from the Washington Times. She writes Inside the Beltway. Good morning.
Good morning.
The impeachment follies got even more intriguing this week. A lot of talk about how this is playing out outside the Beltway, and what are you finding this week?
Well, there's a couple of very interesting predictions out there that the impeachment is not going to play very well, not only in Peoria, but also in the general public. And this is actually coming from House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy this week. And he kind of offered a very terse review of the whole impeachment quote-unquote process. You know, there was some really flippant theatrics going on, as everyone noticed this week, with the souvenir pens and all the snappy remarks and the drama and the marching back and forth in the Capitol and all of that stuff that went on. And I think the first thing we have to remember is why this is not going to play well in the public is when they find out how much it's costing them. It did not get a whole lot of attention this week, but the Heritage Foundation actually did a very significant analysis of how much this has been costing since the whole impeachment thing began. I think it was September the 24th, and they have figured out that Democratic leaders here are spending about $1 million in taxpayers' money every month on this, and they are basing their estimate on the cost of the lawyers, the staff time involved, and they're also saying that $1 million a month is kind of a low estimate because it does not take into account overtime for the U.S. Capitol Police, the travel costs for the witnesses, and the executive branch expenses, lots of things like that. And when all was said and done, Mr. McCarthy, this is what he has to say, because he's predicting this is not going to play well with the public. He said Democrats did what you would expect in a campaign event. They posed for pictures, they smiled, they handed out gifts to one another, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi even fist-pumped on the House floor during what should have been a very serious debate. Their behavior is disgusting and appalling. Again, this is Kevin McCarthy saying this. Every person in the country should be enraged at the fraud, waste, and abuse they have seen from Democrats in this majority. Millions of dollars spent, countless hours lost on their unrelenting hatred towards this president. And I think mixed up in that is a very interesting voice of reason here, too, because there is a reality to the impeachment as it goes over to the U.S. Senate. Here's a remark coming from Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee Republican. She says, "It is not our job to expand the impeachment. It is our job to review what they have sent forward. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do it in an expedient manner. We're going to be fair to the president and to the process, and we're going to get this behind us." Again, that's coming from Senator Marsha Blackburn, kind of a nice summation of what we hope will actually go on. And she herself says that Americans themselves are, quote, sick and tired of impeachment.
Let's turn to the media, as President Trump has not really gotten any more positive media recently. What about the Democrats and the media?
Yeah, well, this is interesting because we know after all these years we've followed our friends over at the Media Research Center, and they're constantly doing these very intricate analysis of media coverage, particularly of President Trump, and they do a very good job of it. And they have discovered the old tradition is continuing. They have traced the broadcast network coverage of President Trump since before he was even elected. And they've always found that it was about 91% negative. This is coming from the big three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And they discovered that in the first 100 days since the House Democrats began their impeachment push on September 24th, the coverage on the three networks on their evening news was 93% negative coverage. But the interesting thing, yeah, well, big surprise there, right?
How can you beat 91%? 93%.
That's exactly right. And they said that the broadcast networks have donated 124 hours of wall-to-wall live coverage of the impeachment stuff since then. And they point out, this is very significant, that all of this Trump obsession has compromised the coverage of the Democrats who are running for president. Ah, how about that? That's sort of collateral damage there, an unintended collateral damage. Anyway, they're saying that three-fourths of the coverage of Mr. Trump was devoted to impeachment, and that earned 849 minutes of airtime. And you and I know that's a lot of airtime, particularly on TV. But let's say, oh, what about the fight against ISIS? How much did that get? That got 78 minutes. This is, again, since September. North Korea got 19 minutes. Immigration got 17 minutes. The economy got 9 minutes. But let's go over to Mr. Trump. He got 1,143 minutes of coverage. Again, this is coming from the Media Research Center, while Joe Biden got 107 minutes total. And Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, they got 24 minutes each of this coverage. And Pete Buttigieg got 8 minutes. So what they're saying in their analysis at our friends again over at the Media Research Center, while most citizens would want their media to be even-handed in their coverage of candidates, the network seemed poised to be as lopsidedly negative in their coverage of Trump's 2020 campaign as they have been in the coverage of his presidency. So collateral damage here, the Democratic candidates are not getting as much coverage as they should. How about that?
There are a couple of people who are getting almost as much coverage as President Trump this week. It's Harry and Meghan.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a small update about Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan Markle. Certainly, they've been the center of a lot of attention, and they're trying to step away from their royal duties. And, you know, in a big way, they've sort of taken a few steps there. Like Harry, a lot of people don't know, he's going to produce a mental health series with Oprah Winfrey for Apple TV, and Meghan is going to do some voiceovers for a Disney project. But here comes a cultural side of this. This is coming from The Hollywood Reporter, a very respected industry source. They are saying for many, the film and TV deal between Barack and Michelle Obama's Higher Ground banner and Netflix, as well as the former first couple's $65 million pact with Penguin Random House, is the option for them to emulate. They're suggesting that the Prince and Meghan are going to emulate Barack and Michelle Obama as kind of role models. This is coming from analyst Alex Rettman. He actually covers culture for the Hollywood Reporter. And they're also saying that they don't predict that Meghan is going to try to, quote, reignite her former acting career at the very moment, but you never know with this. They are also suggesting that they may choose as a role model the Clooneys, meaning George Clooney and his wife Amal, because they are considered the, quote, global citizen model. So they're saying the family that they see themselves closely aligned to, even more so than the Obama, is the Clooneys. And that's coming from a TV producer out there who's actually worked with the who's actually covered the first the royal couple a lot. I'm getting all my couples all mixed up here, but George is Hollywood royalty, Amal is legal and humanitarian royalty, and if you look at where they live, they don't really have a base. So they're saying that the Clooneys and the Obamas may be the role models for the royal couple.
Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you very much. And it's time to take a look at the weather for the Washington area. And expect some snow showers around this morning. Pretty much up until noon, it could be snow. And then for the afternoon, a mix of rain, snow, freezing rain, depending on where you are. We'll have a high temperature this afternoon of 38, but it should taper off by later on in the afternoon, early evening. For tomorrow, we're looking for sunshine with a high of 39. Sunny on Monday, high 35. Sunshine Tuesday up to 36. Right now in Washington, 32. It's 27 in Northern Virginia. 6:47 on the Saturday morning update. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Impeachment will dominate the news for the next several weeks, if not longer. And we are joined by Jim Trusty. He's with IFRA Law here in D.C. You see him often on the cable news channels. Prior to joining IFRA Law, he was the chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Friday, the announcement of the president's legal team. Your thoughts on the folks that he has put together?
Well, it's an interesting mix of people. And look, there's obviously some more high-profile names than others. You know, Alan Dershowitz obviously is somebody who's a high-profile lawyer. He's been associated with some big cases. I don't know that he's been in the courtroom all that recently, but I'm not sure that's going to be his role. I heard yesterday there was going to be very defined roles for each of the attorneys on the team. So it'll be interesting to see how that breaks down. But I would suspect that Alan Dershowitz would be more of a constitutional law guy. That's what he's a professor of. So I suspect he'll be really addressing things like the articles of impeachment as to whether, as a legal matter, they're sufficient, not so much addressing the facts. And I also have to say I'm pretty partial towards Ken Starr. I think he's a very scholarly, smart, good person, obviously has institutional knowledge about the last impeachment go-around in Washington. So it's probably very helpful to have him at your beck and call, where you can kind of say, how did it work last time, which I imagine you're doing a lot of with him right now. So there's a couple of bigger names. There's a couple of pretty well-known inside D.C. lawyers, and I suspect they'll all keep very busy for the next month.
I think one of the difficult things for us to understand as lay people is the difference between what we're familiar with in a courtroom proceeding and the Senate proceeding. It doesn't appear that the president will be afforded certain rights that would be afforded in Montgomery County Circuit Court.
Right. You might actually have more rights in a speeding ticket than you do for an impeachment proceeding. And that's the thing. It's very dangerous to conflate impeachment with court. It is kind of a starting point analysis that we all make, though, because courts have evolved to protect fairness and to have a process that's predictable and established, and it's presided over by a judge. Even the most minimal civil trial, the judge is a gatekeeper there to make sure that only reliable evidence is being considered by the jury. That's why we have rules of evidence and rules of procedure. So this is a very different bird. I mean, it was strikingly different on the House level, obviously, where opinion testimony came in, where hearsay testimony came in, where experts, you know, dressed up law professors come in and say, well, I think you should find guilt because of A, B, and C. I mean, it's a very foreign concept compared to what we're used to from actual courtrooms. I think the Senate proceeding is going to track a little closer to what we would normally expect. But even then, they're hashing out the rules as we speak, and it's going to be very interesting to see how questioning takes place, whether witnesses testify, and how close it tracks the due process we're used to from our courthouses.
All right, so you've laid out the president's legal team. In contrast, the House managers, Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler and Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff, will be sort of the face, I guess, of the Democratic team.
Yes, that's going to be a really interesting breakdown to see kind of who has the lead role. Obviously, Adam Schiff had the largest role getting up to this point, which also means he brings the most criticism, right? You had a situation where they couldn't wait even a single day for the phone call transcript to come out, where he was shutting down Republican questions, where he was not allowing subpoenas to issue for one side, where he was literally running out and talking to the press before, during, and after that proceeding to announce guilt. So he was anything but judicious appearing on the House level. And now he's going to be in a position where he might have to defend himself a little bit. So I think it'll be interesting to see if they continue to make him front and center, where maybe some pretty pointed questions come his way, or whether or not he's just going to kind of manage the press rather than managing the actual proceeding.
Another of the questions causing confusion is the notion of the introduction of any new evidence that's come out recently, or are they pretty much limited to what was presented in the House proceeding?
Right. We're going to find out in coming days, it sounds like. I mean, that's got to be one of the topics that's going on between the majority and the minority Senate members in terms of how this process is going to work. You know, remember with Nixon and with Clinton, you had pretty bedrock facts. There was no giant dispute towards the end as to what the underlying criminality was. There might have been an open question of whether or not, for instance, President Clinton should be removed for it. But there was no problem kind of establishing what the bedrock violation was. Here it's almost the exact opposite. I mean, Ukraine has said there was no pressure, no quid pro quo. You had witnesses giving what would normally be inadmissible information, and it still didn't really move the needle. So we're now in a position where the House managers need some sort of Hail Mary. They need something to move the needle because it really hasn't happened to date. And I think they're going to breathlessly announce that every new word is somehow a bombshell. We already saw that a little bit with a potential witness, Lev Parnas, but I think the bottom line is that they need something to move the needle if they have any chance of removal, which means they're probably going to try to continue to keep the record open. But again, most criminal cases, most civil cases, at some point that record closes. You can't keep adding on new information as the trial unfolds, and I think we'll have some sort of bright line stoppage to the evidence coming in on this case too.
Well, you mentioned witnesses, and Lev Parnas has surfaced, been on the media tour on CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, and probably more over the weekend. Your thoughts on witnesses in general?
Well, look, witnesses in general is going to be interesting because of the possible horse trading, right? The Republicans want to put Hunter Biden on. The Democrats want to put John Bolton on. This guy Parnas strikes me as kind of an Eastern European version of Michael Cohen. He's got his own problems. He's facing a criminal case. He's out there publicly flailing away trying to buy himself some sort of cooperation benefit. And even in very friendly interviews with Rachel Maddow and I think MSNBC and maybe it was CNN too, he's already been inconsistent. So this is a guy that you'd have to look at extremely carefully with a real, you know, jaundiced eye if he was testifying in a normal court. I think it's kind of too little too late to have a guy like that show up and try to shop his cooperation publicly. Again, if you're going to cooperate in a federal case or in some important matter, you should be talking in a U.S. Attorney's Office conference room, not on national TV. So I'm not sure that the Parnas phenomenon is going to last very long.
And if they do call witnesses and they do call Hunter Biden, how could that play out for the Democrats?
Well, that could be the actual bombshell in this proceeding because Biden, I mean, really anybody, any third-year law student should be able to cross-examine the living heck out of Hunter Biden, his job, his lack of qualification, the amount of money. You don't have to get to Arkansas stripper babies to do some serious damage to Hunter Biden's credibility. Now, as a matter of law, it really isn't part of this process, but it's a political process. So, again, if we divorce ourselves from typical court rulings and gatekeeping, which is not going to happen here with Justice Roberts, then you've got a situation where, you know, anything goes. They may trade him into the mix and allow Hunter Biden to either testify about really embarrassing facts or even possibly take the Fifth Amendment, which would be probably equally disastrous for him.
I guess one of the other major questions is the whole definition of high crimes and misdemeanors. You know, you've got an obstruction charge here. As you look at all of this, is there the commission of an impeachable offense?
Well, I think a lot of us would say there isn't, that it truly requires a high crime or misdemeanor, and they don't even bother coming up with a federal statute to be a high crime or a misdemeanor here. To me, the most troublesome part of the impeachment of the two articles is actually the obstruction of Congress. And that's the one where, again, I don't know what the politics are, but legally speaking, that would be nice to see someone move to dismiss that without any actual testimony. And the reason why is because what they did in, quote, obstructing Congress was defend themselves. When you assert a privilege or when you demand a subpoena to show up for something, or if you try to fight a subpoena with a motion to quash that subpoena, those are all lawful options that are used every day of the week in Washington, D.C. for various hearings. To suddenly essentially criminalize that is a horrible precedent for the future. So I'm really hoping on a pure kind of legal academic outlook as opposed to political that Congress takes it upon themselves to carve out that obstruction count and get rid of it.
Jim, before we went on, you mentioned something that I think people will find very, very interesting, and that is apparently we're not going to have the bombshell questioning that we saw from the various congressmen in the House. This process is completely different.
Well, that's right. Yesterday there was an announcement that the House managers would be presenting their case, but really in more of an oral argument kind of style than pure testimony. And importantly, the questions coming from any of the sitting congressmen were to be filtered through Justice Roberts. And so, again, there may be time limits that kick into this as well. I'm sure there will be. But it really creates kind of a strangely sterile questioning. It will not be kind of an exciting cross-examination where you can, as a cross-examiner, react to what you're seeing and hearing from the witness and drill down and pepper them with good follow-ups. It would be much more deliberate and much more antiseptic, and I think Justice Roberts probably hates this model more than anybody else. But at the end of the day, he's not going to be turning it on to kind of pepper any of these witnesses with follow-up questions. He's simply going to be reading a script.
And will the cross-examination by the president's legal team go through the same filter?
What I had heard from yesterday's brief comments to the press on this was that, yes, that everyone will be filtering their questions, again, for the case managers, through Justice Roberts. Now, that doesn't mean witnesses will be treated the same way, but to the extent they want to challenge the Adam Schiff's of the world, it's going to be going through Justice Roberts, at least as it stands from recent reporting.
Jim Trusty at the IFRA Law Firm here in D.C. We'll be watching for you on the cable channels in the week ahead. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
6:59, Saturday morning update on WMAL.
You may have heard my story, how I love my Good Feet Art Support so much that I bought the store. I'm Jonathan Cotton, and now one of my favorite things is seeing reviews from other Good Feet customers. Here's one from Terry in Richmond.
I'm a nurse and always on my feet. I have a nerve on the top of my foot that is always giving me problems. I've seen neurologists and foot doctors, and nothing helped until I got my art supports from the Good Feet store. No more nerve pain. I would recommend anyone that works on their feet to get to their store ASAP.
Here's another from William in Newport News.
My back pain is still decreasing, and I've stopped taking all of my pain medications. I have recommended you to anyone who will listen.
Then this review from Garland makes me chuckle.
I've only had Good Feet Arch Supports 4 days, and they are working for me. My knees are getting better, and no pain in my feet. I tell all my friends how I thought this was not a good idea. Man, I was wrong.
Come in today for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike and coming soon to Leesburg.
7 o'clock news is next with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Katie McFarland.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.